seriously popular.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yesterday, 12th January 2022, Gardaí from Tullamore Garda Station attended to an incident following a call from a member of the public.
It is every woman's worst nightmare. Whoever is responsible for this will face the full rigours of the law.
From the team that brought you the trial of Lucy Letby, this is The Trial, Ashley Murphy.
On the 12th of January 2022, Aisling Murphy, a schoolteacher, was killed in the Irish town of Tullamore. Her funeral was attended by thousands, and many more attended vigils for her across the world.
Joseph Pushka is now on trial, accused of her murder. He denies the charges against him. I'm Nicola Byrne, Deputy News Editor for The Mail on Sunday in Ireland. I'll be in court every day, reporting on the trial as it happens.
And I'm broadcaster and journalist Caroline Cheetham. Together, we'll examine what's happened in court and bring you the details behind the headlines. Today, we'll explain that Joseph Pushka allegedly told police from his hospital bed that he killed Aisling Murphy.
The court was told that, speaking through an interpreter, he told police that he was the murderer. He also allegedly admitted telling Aisling that he wouldn't hurt her, but as she passed him, he stabbed her.
And we'll outline that DNA found allegedly had a 1 in 1 billion chance of belonging to someone other than Joseph Pushka.
Welcome to episode 4, The Confession.
Nicola, in the last episode, we heard about the evidence of a woman who said she was being followed by Joseph Pushka in the minutes before he allegedly attacked and killed Aisling.
Yes, this is a woman called Anne-Marie Kelly, who told the court she felt so uncomfortable by the presence of Joseph Pushka as she walked her dog in Tullamore on January the 12th last year, that she even considered crossing the canal to get away from him. A few minutes later, the prosecution say he turned his attention to Aisling, stabbing her 12 times in the neck as she walked along the Grand Canal after finishing work for the day.
We also heard that Aisling's Fitbit captured the moment that she was attacked and died because it was tracking her heartbeat. And what we've heard, Nicola, since the last episode is that Joseph Pushka allegedly made a confession to the killing from his hospital bed. So it's worth just walking back to the end of the last episode, and what we heard in court then was that in the hours after the killing, Joseph Pushka was captured on CCTV, getting lifts in various cars to various places. And he ended up at his parents' house in Dublin in the early hours of the next morning. That's January the 13th. And later on that morning, at around 11 a.m., an ambulance was called to that address.
Caroline, Joseph Pushka told paramedics he'd been stabbed. This is according to the prosecution. And he was taken to the nearby St. James's Hospital in Dublin's South City. When he arrived in the hospital, and because he said he'd been a victim of crime, Garda Conor Newman of Blanchardstown Garda Stations was one of two policemen who went along to interview him and offer him their assistance. The officer told the court he asked for a translator for Joseph Pushka to make him more comfortable.
And Nicola, what he told the officers at that point was that he'd been stabbed the day before in Blanchardstown. Now, just to go through the sort of timeline that he gave them, he said he got a lift up to Dublin, having left Tullamore on the 12th of January. He then got another lift to Euston Station, which is in Dublin city centre, and then flagged down a taxi out to Blanchardstown. Now, when he got out of that taxi in Blanchardstown, he said he was attacked by two men and stabbed, he said, in broad daylight. He said one of the men had darker skin than the other. He then said that he went to his father's apartment, but he couldn't remember how he got there. And he also told the officers that he got scratches on his body and his arms when he was running away from his attackers.
But Caroline, the story really didn't add up, and the officers weren't happy that the account was so vague. Towards the end of their conversation in the hospital that day, Joseph Pushka's heart monitor went off. A nurse came in to assist him and the Gardaí withdrew. Garda Newman said to the jury, "We weren't really satisfied with the answers he gave us. He didn't really give us a clear line of inquiry. I knew there was more to the story. There were holes in the story."
So he and his colleague, Garda Paul McDonald, went back to Blanchardstown Garda Station and reported back to Detective Inspector Shane McCartan. And he agreed there were lots of pieces of the jigsaw that could not be put together. He also said it just did not add up. Now, he told the court, "I was aware of his nationality. I was aware that he was residing in Tullamore. And we came to the conclusion that the information we were in possession of may be of material assistance to the investigation of the murder of Aislinn Murphy." So he said he made contact with Tullamore Gardaí and outlined what he knew, including that Joseph Pushka had travelled from Tullamore to Dublin on January the 12th. And almost immediately, Nicola, two detectives from Tullamore were sent to Dublin to meet Joseph Pushka.
Yes, these were Detective Sergeant Brian Jennings and Detective Garda Fergus Hogan. They said they arrived at St. James's Hospital on the evening of the 13th of January, but they were initially denied access to the patient by Dr. Arthur Hennessy. He was a consultant doctor on the A&E ward, and he said that Joseph Pushka was post-operative and wasn't fit to be interviewed. So they came back the following day, and there was also a translator on the other end of Detective Sergeant Jennings' mobile phone at that point. And Caroline, initially, Joseph Pushka, he repeated his story about being the victim of a stabbing.
He said he'd met a man called Tom on the road between Mucklagh and Tullamore, and he'd given him a lift to Dublin's Euston Station. And from there, he flagged a cab to Blanchardstown. Now, they asked him why he was going to Blanchardstown, and he said he'd been going to meet a woman called Maria, or Marion, who was possibly, he said, from Hungary.
Towards the end of the conversation, they asked if he had a bike, and he said he did have a bike, but he hadn't had it for the past 2 weeks because it had been stolen from outside his house in Mucklagh. So they asked him if he'd been cycling around Tullamore on the 12th of January, and he said no, he definitely hadn't. At that point, he appeared to become unwell, they said. He started to dry retch.
So they then obtained a search warrant to seize his clothes and his mobile phone. And Detective Sergeant Jennings went to meet him again to tell him what was going on. And once again, the translator was on the phone. Now, at this point, Nicola, they told him that they were actually investigating the murder of Aislinn Murphy.
Detective Sergeant Jennings told the court that he asked Joseph Pushka if he'd heard about what had happened in Tullamore. He said he had. He then asked if he was a suspect, and the officer told him he was a person of interest. Detective Sergeant Jennings said Joseph Pushka then paused and had a conversation with the interpreter. This is what Detective Sergeant Jennings told the court. His words here have been voiced by an actor.
The pause went on for a few seconds. It was a notable pause.
Detective Sergeant Jennings said the interpreter then said Joseph Pushka was making an official statement. He said the interpreter continued,
that he is admitting that he committed the murder. I did it. I murdered. I am the murderer.
So Detective Sergeant Jennings then said he immediately cautioned Joseph Pushka that he was not obliged to say anything more and that anything he did say would be taken down in a written note.
I asked the direct question, is he saying he committed the murder? And he answered, yes, he said.
At that stage, he said he offered Joseph Pushka a solicitor, and he said he didn't have a solicitor, but he would like to speak to one in the future. He said he also tried to interrupt Joseph Pushka, but that he continued to speak through the translator.
Now in court, Detective Sergeant Jennings was looking at his notes as he said to the jury.
He said, the reason I am pleading guilty, I don't want my family to anything to happen to them, nothing bad to them. I feel guilty, and I say I regret it. He was continuing to speak. I reminded him that everything was being written down. He understood, and he nodded his head, he said.
The court heard that the translator then relayed,
when I said I committed the murder, I did not do it intentionally. He started asking questions. Is his family? Can they be safe? I explained the police won't harm his family. He continued to talk at this stage. He was concerned that the family of the girl could harm his family. He said, I'm sorry, I regret it. I did not do it intentionally.
He said he reassured him that his family would be safe and that Aisling's family were good people.
He was awake. He was providing information to me. He was showing concern about himself and his family. He did not try to end the conversation. I was trying to end the conversation. He was upset. He was crying. The interpreter was upset as well. You could hear on the phone.
Now another detective, Detective Garda Fergus Hogan, then gave evidence to the court, and he said that he stepped into the room at that point to stay with Joseph Pushka while the other detectives left. Now this is what he told the jury, and his words have also been voiced by an actor.
He started to speak to me, and I didn't ask him any questions whatsoever. He started speaking, and I wrote down what he was saying. He said, I'm sorry, I'm family, five kids, I see girl I never see before. I have knife. I use for chain.
At this point, Detective Garda Hogan said he interrupted to tell Joseph Pushka that he didn't have to tell him anything, but still he continued.
He said, chain on bike. I answered, we're going to contact a solicitor for you. He continued on. I told her, go. I won't hurt you. When she passed, I cut her. I cut her neck. She panic. I panic.
Now he said to the court that Joseph Pushka then put his finger to his lips to indicate how he told the girl not to panic.
He continued on. She panic, I panic. And then it happened. Will I go for 10 years?
He replied,
I can't answer that, Joseph.
And he told the court,
Joseph pointed to his stomach and told me, I do this.
We'll pause there for a quick break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So, Nicola, we heard this week, as we said, about this alleged confession made by Joseph Pushka in hospital. But we also heard about some significant DNA evidence which was found on Aislinn.
Yes. In the last hour or so, Caroline, the court heard that DNA taken from under Aislinn's fingernails during a post-mortem examination matched samples generated from Joseph Pushka. This all came from Dr. Laura Flanagan of the Forensic Science Laboratory Ireland. She said the chance of the male DNA profile found under Ms. Murphy's nails coming from someone unrelated to Joseph Pushka was 1 in 14,000. She also said the DNA sample base she used was the Western European model, and under cross-examination from Michael Bowman for the defence, she agreed that it would include ethnic Roma or Slovakian samples.
Now, we also heard in court that a fingerprint matching Joseph Pushka was found under the saddle of the black and green bicycle which was left at the scene of Aislinn's attack. Now, this came from Dr. Kim Connick of the fingerprint section at Forensic Science Ireland. She said she'd examined the bicycle, which was a Falcon Storm. Now, it had that dark grey frame and green forks. Now, she said she brushed the bike with aluminium powder, often referred to as fingerprint powder, and it developed one mark. Now, she said a mark in that place would be consistent with someone having lifted the bicycle up.
There was also more DNA evidence from John Hode, a DNA expert who was recently retired from Forensic Science Ireland. He told the jury that everyone, unless they're an identical twin, has unique DNA. He said he had swabbed the handlebars and gear change mechanism of the bicycle, and he was able to obtain a full DNA profile.
Now, this profile was then compared with a blood sample taken from Joseph Pushka at St James's Hospital and with a further DNA sample which had been taken from him at Tullamore Garda Station following his arrest on January the 18th. Now, he said all three profiles matched each other, and he estimated to the court that the chance of the DNA matching someone else was 1 in a billion. Now, Nicola, one of the other aspects of the case which we've heard a bit more about this week was that another man was initially arrested for Aislinn's alleged murder in the hours after her attack.
Caroline, yes, this man was actually arrested within an hour of Aislinn's killing, and he was held for more than 24 hours. He was questioned for 11 of those hours. And we also heard that this man was picked out of an ID parade which took place the day after Aislinn was killed. We heard a bit about this during the evidence given to the court by Jenna Stack, who said she had seen a man crouching over Aislinn in the ditch. There were 9 men in the parade, and their appearance matched the general description given by her. During that ID parade, however, she chose number 6, but very quickly it became clear his DNA didn't match the DNA found at the scene, and he was released the evening after Aislinn died.
So before we finish today, we should just outline a little bit about what we've heard from the defence counsel so far, Nicola. He has been cross-examining a number of the witnesses, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, Caroline. And specifically, he asked Roz Gillen, site nurse manager at St James's Hospital, had the Gardaí made any request to speak to Joseph Pushka's doctor before they spoke with him? She replied they hadn't. He also asked her whether the police asked if Joseph Pushka was actually medically fit to deal with the Gardaí before they entered into conversation with them. Again, she said they hadn't.
So that's it for today's episode. Joseph Pushka denies the charge of murder and the trial continues. So we'll be back next week with more updates from the court. And Nicola, you'll be there for us again.
Yes, Caroline, I'll be there every day, and we'll be back Tuesday with the next episode.
In the meantime, you can follow us at The Trial Podcast, or you can follow me at Radio Caroline.
See you then.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.